Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want by dialing in toll-free. Taking control of the airwaves, 800-259-9231. Join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We give you the features free. So enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. Joining you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Sean.
And Mark.
And you can again join us on the lines here at 800-259-9231. Let's talk about Ebenezer Scrooge. Sean, you've been wanting to do this one for a little while, and sometimes the phones just ring off the hook and we can't do anything about that. So I think we've got the time at this point, so let's do it.
All right, well, this is a defense for Ebenezer Scrooge. And
where's it coming from?
It's coming from Mises.org.
All right.
And it is presented as a lawyer giving his closing arguments.
Very good.
I'll have to read it. May it please the court, and frankly, even if it doesn't please the court, I find myself once again in the company of people like Clarence Darrow, who observed that there are those who run with the hunters and those who run with the hunted. In representing my client, Ebenezer Scrooge, I am running with the hunted. Over the years, we have witnessed a thoroughly one-sided treatment of my client at the hands of the prosecution as represented by Charles Dickens. On the basis of emotionally riddled allegations coupled with pure economic ignorance, we have been asked to find Mr. Scrooge guilty of the most ill-defined wrongdoings. Most of us have been dissuaded from even imagining the possibility of a defense for a man like Scrooge. Indeed, I suspect that many reading this brief are doing so under the impression that it is nothing more than a joke, or, at best, a humorous proceeding designed to satisfy your legalistic fancies about due process, so that you may proceed to hang my client with a clear conscience on your part.
This is written in the style of a defense attorney defending Ebenezer Scrooge, and he's saying that all the charges against Ebenezer Scrooge have at this point been ill-conceived and emotionally based.
That's what he's saying.
Okay, nail it.
He'll get into the charges in just a moment. In this day of Ashcroftian logic, wherein dissent is regarded as evidence of criminal conspiracy, some of you might be inclined to take a front row seat alongside another Dickens character and precursor to Fox News commentators, the irrepressible Madame Lafarge, to demand Scrooge's swift punishment, lest the accused slip through the net on the legal technicality that he was not guilty as charged. Not unlike the allegations in a child abuse case, many may be inclined to respond, what kind of defense could be made of a man like that? What would you expect someone who had done such a horrible deed to say? To even mount a defense on behalf of my client is to risk the disappropriation of all those burdened by the sentiments of political correctness. This is the age of tabloid thinking, which presumes that if allegations rise to a sufficient level of heinousness,
it must be true.
No defense is conceivable, not even the defense of innocent of the charges alleged.
Julian Assange is a rapist!
Well, of course.
That's what they're doing. They're just besmirching somebody's character, even though nothing has happened yet.
Some might even say that the more atrocious the allegations leveled at another, the less evidence that is necessary to sustain the charges, and the greater the burden upon the defendant to refute and disprove such charges. What is the bill of particulars with which my client is charged? Pay close attention to Mr. Dickens' allegations. His case comes down to just 2 points. 1. My client has managed to become very rich, and 2. He insists on keeping his money for himself. That's it. That is the essence of his alleged wrongdoing. Knowing that the facts of this case support no more wrongdoings against my client than his being motivated by self-interest, Mr. Dickens resorts to a subtle form of vilification by giving my client a pejorative name in an effort to win you over to the prosecution side by your expected revulsion at the sound of it. Scrooge.
Ebenezer isn't that great either.
No, not particularly.
You know, it's definitely a name that's fallen out of popularity.
Like Bertha.
Yeah, think so. You'd think that would have happened with Ian, but no such luck.
Yeah, it's actually pretty popular over in the UK.
Yeah,
it's not that popular around here.
It's getting more popular these days.
My nephew is an Ian, actually.
Whatever happened to Bertha, though? I mean, have you ever met an attractive Bertha?
Well, it's the Berthas that I've met have been people of, usually immigrant or child of immigrant status.
Yeah.
And they've usually been older. It's a name that has fallen out of favor. I'll tell you the one that's really fallen out of favor, though. Adolf. That's one that, at one point was a relatively popular name. Now, there's still some Adolfos out there, but it doesn't have the same level of vilification in South America that it does here.
Sorry, tangent. Go on.
Tangents are fine. I have them all the time myself. So I hope that you are sophisticated enough to resist such an apparent ad hominem attack against people of wealth, such as not been the response of most men and women. Like Ayn Rand's sniveling bureaucrat, Wesley Mooch, the name Ebenezer Scrooge is designed to evoke prejudice and animosity in the mind of the reader, so that people will be predisposed to support any case against the man, no matter how ill-founded. Even Ebenezer's politically correct nephew is blessed with a name from the maternal side of Scrooge's family. Dickens certainly had more neutral or wholesome names from which to have chosen for my client. David Copperfield, Nicholas Nickleby, Mr. Mockrobear come immediately to mind. Even the character Fezziwig conjures up a joviality and good-natured spirit in the minds of those who have never read the story. Can you imagine my client with the name Sidney Carton going off to work each day expressing the thought, 'tis a far, far better thing that I do today? Can you imagine such words coming from the pen of Charles Dickens and crossing the lips of my client as he goes about his business of lending money to those whose productive dreams will help to enhance the well-being of tens of thousands of total strangers?
Yeah, bring me back to the story. I mean, it has been so long since I have... I've never read the Dickens version of this. I mean, the only experience I have with this is the old Disney animated version where... You know, Pluto and Mickey Mouse and Scrooge McDuck are the characters. So tell me a little, I mean, before you go on with this defense of Scrooge, was he a loan, you know, somebody who gave loans to people? Was that his business?
His business is not particularly made clear in the story, although he's a financier of some sort, so the assumption is he makes loans or mm-hmm. something. It's not clear exactly what his business is.
And isn't it the beginning of the story that he doesn't want to... What, pay his worker in advance or something like that, or give him a bonus, or give money to charity? What is it that he is being Scroogey about?
He's rather stingy. Well, that actually is not particularly defensive, but his pay to his employee is rather low for appearances. It looks like he's paying not enough money to his employee, mm-hmm. and the defense here will go into some of why that's not true.
Also, the office is not kept at a reasonable temperature, so the suggestion is that the workplace is below
unsafe.
Average.
Yeah.
I find it interesting that, is it Copperfield is the name of the protagonist in this?
No, he's referencing other names from Dickens'
okay.
books.
Because Dickens has, you know, made, Copperfield, as I understand it, is a Jewish name, and Dickens was quite an anti-Semite from what I'd read as far as, you know, in his books, the way that he portrayed, actual Jews in the books. Mm. So, you know, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Let's continue. If we can,
just a moment. Sorry.
Well, you know, the idea here that Scrooge gets a bad name, but his partner, his deceased partner, was Jacob Marley.
That's right.
Not a terrible, last name, right? I mean, you know, certainly it's not Ebenezer Scrooge.
Just as a defendant is told he must take his plaintiff as he finds him, a lawyer must take his client as he finds him. And so I proceed with the merits, if indeed such exist, of the case against Ebenezer Scrooge. While a general demur should have disposed of this bogus and malicious action in swift fashion at the outset, such was apparently not done in a timely manner by my predecessor. And I am now compelled to go forward on the facts and their legal significance of this case. Taking my client as the miserable fellow Dickens has presented him, let me be the first to admit that if Ebenezer's obsession with materialistic pursuits rendered him an unhappy person, and were it the purposes of his detractors to help extricate him from his self-imposed miseries and to restore him to that state of happiness and innocence so common to us in our childhood years, no one would be happier than I. But it is not my client's happiness that the prosecution endeavors to obtain, but his money. The case against Ebenezer Scrooge is nothing more than a well-orchestrated, vicious conspiracy to extort from my client as much of his money as can be acquired through terror, threats of his death, and other appeals to fear. The only happiness that ensued to my client from this campaign arose from the ultimate succession of terror inflicted upon him.
We'll come back with more about Ebenezer Scrooge and a defense of Ebenezer Scrooge. You don't hear this every day. I've never heard it before. 800-259-9231 is the SACL CAI toll-free line. Certainly, you're welcome to comment if you're familiar with the story. And or bring up anything you want and take control of the airwaves. This is Free Talk Live. 800-259-9231.
A passion for service never leaves. I'm Tim Lewis, and after 22 years in the military, I became a mortgage professional. helping my fellow veterans and active duty service members secure VA home loans. Refinancing with a VA loan is a privilege earned through service, and it's my privilege to help you get there. We can help you lower your rate or consolidate debt, even if your current mortgage is not a VA loan. Go to varadio.com to learn more. That's varadio.com. I'm Tim Lewis. Thank you for your service.
VARadio.com is a website of iFreedom Direct Corporation, a private lender approved by the VA and licensed in most states. In certain states, certain restrictions and limitations apply. For a current list of licenses, disclosures, and all benefits, go to VARadio.com or call 1-800-900-VA-LOAN. VARadio.com.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeSig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeSig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeSig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeSig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeSig.com. That's LeSig.com. LeSig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeSig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's LeSig.com. LeSig, for today's modern smoker.
Attention, an important product from HempUSA.org, microplant powder, will change your life by removing all types of positive toxins, such as heavy metals, parasites, bacteria, viruses, and fungus from the digestive tract and stomach wall so you can absorb nutrients. Microplant powder is 89% silica and packed with a negative charge that attracts positive toxins from the blood, organs, spine, and brain. This product has the ability to rebuild cartilage and bone, which allows synovial fluid to return to the joints. Silica is a precursor to calcium, meaning the body turns silica into calcium and is great for the heart. There is no better time than now to have microplant powder on your shelf or in your storage shelter. And with an unlimited shelf life, you can store it anywhere. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. It's a great way to change your life. So call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
As a homesteader attempting to live sustainably, I was floored by the amount of information in this book.
Dear Linda, I would be hard-pressed to express how much you have impacted my life.
I'm amazed by the wealth of the author's knowledge and the depth of the coverage in this book.
As we see more and more GMO foods on the shelves, this information is good to know.
I am thankful to God for you, Linda.
I can't say enough about this book.
Blessings to you and your family.
The greatest effect this book has had on me and my family is that we truly see Earth's bounty everywhere.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at OfTheField.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want. Dial in toll-free at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, 800-259-9231. Join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We give you the features on the site free, including our bulletin board system. You can get interactive with other Free Talk Live listeners there at bbs.freetalklive.com.
If you've ever considered taking your case to court without an attorney, jurisdictionary.com is the course for you. It'll show you what you need to know to win, how to move the court, get evidence, all the things that you need to know to take a case to court. If you have a lawyer and you take cases to court on a regular basis, Jurisdictionary will help you know what your lawyer should be doing. It's for state, local, federal courts, courts around the world. Jurisdictionary.com works on all of them. It costs less than an hour with any good lawyer, and it's so easy. The average eighth grader could go through the complete 4-CD course in a single weekend. You get it at jurisdictionary.com. That's jurisdictionary.com.
All right, so we're going to continue here. Sean, you are sharing with us tonight a defense of Ebenezer Scrooge, someone who has been maligned across many decades, you know, over a century. The story's been around for a long time. And you're saying he's never had the appropriate defense until now. The Mises Institute has put forth something that has been written in the form of a defense attorney, somebody who would supposedly would have been hired by Ebenezer Scrooge to defend him against these allegations. And the allegations are, as you pointed out earlier, essentially that he is, well, that he's stingy.
Oh, it's that he's very, very rich and wants to keep his money to himself.
Yeah.
That's the case. That's all they've got.
So let's hear the remainder.
The case against Ebenezer Scrooge is nothing more than a well-orchestrated, vicious conspiracy to extort from my client as much of his money as can be acquired through terror, threats of his death, and other appeals to fear. The only happiness that ensued to my client from this campaign arose from the ultimate succession of terror inflicted upon him. Like the victim of any crime, the termination of wrongdoing offers a momentary relief that can be mistaken for pleasure, but it is an illusion. Such is the only happiness that Mr. Dickens has in mind for my client. Make no mistake about it, my client has been the victim of a cruel criminal conspiracy to extort his money, as well as of such torts as intentional infliction of emotional distress, libel, and slander. Trespass, assault, malicious prosecution, battery, nuisance, and false imprisonment. To that end, my client may elect to bring his own suit, but for now, let us focus upon his defense to this action.
Now, in all of those, he's talking about the things that happened to Scrooge in the book that
yes.
Dickens subjected him to, right?
Yes, that's okay. Correct.
Go ahead.
As we do so, pay particular attention to the utter contradiction underlying Dickens' case. My client is charged with being a greedy, money-hungry scoundrel, and yet it is the conspirators against him who want nothing more than his money. Scrooge, unlike his antagonist, earned his money in the marketplace by satisfying the demands of customers and clients who continue to do business with him, and did not, as far as we were told, resort to terror or threats of death to get it. Perhaps Dickens does no more here than engage in psychological projection. In doing so, he reminds us of the definition of a selfish person as one who puts his greedy interests ahead of mine. It is instructive that Dickens tells us virtually nothing about the nature of Ebenezer's business. We know that he is something of a banker or a financier, but we are told nothing about the nature of his investments. Even if he has not been a creative entrepreneur himself, he has, presumably, been responsible for financing many successful enterprises, which have not only benefited the rest of the community in terms of goods and services they provide, but afford employment to countless individuals, including Bob Cratchit.
Well, it either works or it doesn't, right? I mean, if you're going to loan money to people, let's presume he's a financier and that he's wealthy and he's loaning this money out to people that are starting businesses and things like that. If it doesn't work out, then people default on loans in many cases, and that's no good. I mean, that doesn't get him the interest payments that he's looking for. But if it does work out, the loan does work out, and the person's business does succeed, that does mean that a new product or service has been brought to the community and that they have found it valuable and they've purchased it and they're helping this person's business succeed, and therefore the person who created the loan in the first place succeeds by default.
Well, you know, it's interesting here they're showing... You know, there's this animosity from the rich to the poor, and I think, or from the poor to the rich, largely. And I think that there's some justice in it. Many people in the who are the rich have gotten there throughout, you know, the eons by stepping on the people that are poor, taxing them, making them fight their wars. Remember, most soldiers have been slaves throughout history, and all these other things. So those rich. They deserve people's vilification. However, when you take it to modern day, many of the people that are rich out there have gotten rich by providing people with goods and services that they wanted. That they, you know, when somebody sells a hamburger, if it's McDonald's, let's assume that the Koch guy is still around, whatever his name is, and if he's selling you a hamburger or set up a business that sells you a hamburger, you're trading whatever money, you know, if it's one of these McDoubles, I think it's 99
Koch,
cents.
You mean Ray Kroc?
Kroc, is
okay.
that his name?
Sorry. Like, wait, who?
Sorry, Ray Kroc.
Okay.
The founder
of McDonald's.
I've just seen the plaque on the wall. Yeah. I don't pay much attention. And, you know, you trade your dollar for your hamburger, and you go on your way. The reason you traded that dollar for that hamburger...
It's worth it.
Because the hamburger was worth it to you. It was worth more than the dollar. If the dollar was worth more, you'd have kept it. If it was a, you know, one chicken nugget, you would have traded the dollar. Because you didn't think it was worth it.
Well, not only was the hamburger worth more to you than the dollar was worth more to McDonald's than the hamburger.
Yep, and that's how the marketplace works, and that's why it's moral and it's okay. The idea that you
take away
Mr. Kroc's money and then you give it to, you know, people that don't have jobs, don't want to work or whatever, immoral.
Well, just to put a caveat on what you're saying, you're talking about in the ideal marketplace where one would be free in theory to open up a competing hamburger establishment down the street from McDonald's. Would one be able to find the, you know, the property and the availability to do that? In many cases, McDonald's has teamed up with the government in order to pretty much guarantee themselves business. And what I mean by that is, like, for instance, in New Jersey and Connecticut, New Jersey especially, I believe they have the McDonald's there, where you're on this, basically this restricted road.
The turnpike?
The turnpike. You can't really get on and off too easily. There's nothing that's immediately, there's no reason to get off because they want you to stay on the road and there's tolls and things like that, and it's a hassle to get on and off the turnpike. And so they have basically sold little mini monopolies to, like, mobile gas station and McDonald's. And so if you wanted to eat something else, you better have brought it with you for that particular stretch of highway, because they have essentially mandated that you will be eating the McDonald's food. So when the government gets involved, it's not exactly a free market scenario. But otherwise, ideally, you're right. In a true free marketplace, the things you said do apply.
For all that we know, and it would seem to be beneath Dickens' sensibilities to ask such a question, or care about the answer, Scrooge may have provided capital for researchers seeking a cure for the very ailment from which Tiny Tim suffers. We know that, at the very least, by managing to... And that was great timing there.
You can always still go for a few more words. 800-259-9231. We'll find out more here about Ebenezer Scrooge and a purported defense of him. I don't know. Does he deserve to be defended? I remember how he was portrayed in the Disney movie. He didn't seem like a very nice guy. 800-259-9231. You can take control and bring up what you want. This is Free Talk Live.
What if you could enjoy a refreshing cigarette without worrying about your health? Great news! Now you can enjoy everything you love about a cigarette without everything you hate. It's called the VaporMate e-cig, and it's made by Smokeaway, so you know it's good. VaporMate utilizes patented microelectronic technology that mixes rich tobacco flavor with harmless water vapor. It tastes like a cigarette, smokes like a cigarette, and best of all, it calms you down like a cigarette should. And if you call in the next 30 minutes, we'll give you your VaporMate e-cig kit, valued at $129, free. No more secondhand smoke, smelly clothes, hacking and coughing. Just the great flavor and calming sensation of a real cigarette you can smoke anywhere. Claim your VaporMate when you get your tobacco-flavored filters free. A $129 value, yours free. Imagine the money you'll save each month. But you must call now.
Call 800-540-7570. That's 800-540-7570. Again, 1-800-540-7570.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit, foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications with low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions. RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Pure water. What could be better than the gift of health for your loved ones? And who better to help you give the gift this holiday season than BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com? If those on your gift list are drinking or bathing in unfiltered city or well water, chances are that water is contaminated with rust, bacteria, chlorine, and fluoride. For just pennies a day, Berkey Water Filters remove dangerous contaminants from both well and city water, is powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, and is great for camping and emergencies. Right now, GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems and free shipping on orders over $50. Purchase any filter system from BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com to get your choice of Berkey Sport Bottles, a KDF shower filter, a set of fluoride filters, or the new Sight Glass Spigot absolutely free. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Give the gift of health at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com today.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. You've heard me talk about the delicious, easy-to-fix, and very storable foods from eFoodsDirect.com. I've told you for years that eFoodsDirect has the best storable food on the planet. Now it's that time of year again, and their holiday special is here. They have two holiday price packs for you to put into your reserves for a secure future or to share with others. The first is a six-month bulk supply in 10 cans. And the second is a five-week supply of quick and easy-to-fix meals, including delicious bakery items shipped in heavy tote bags. Now, for a limited time, when you order two or more of these special holiday packs, you'll get free shipping on your entire order. Call now, 800-409-5633, or visit them at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. That's 800-409-5633, or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want. Dial in toll free. Take control of the airwaves at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll free line, 1-800-259-9231. Joining you tonight, it's Ian.
And Sean.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website, freetalklive.com. There's a webcam there. You can watch, listen, and chat. There's a chat room built into the same page. You can do all that stuff totally free at cam.freetalklive.com. It's brought to you by Memory Dealers.
Memory Dealers is your trusted source for all your networking and telecom accessory needs. They offer the world's largest selection of discounted optical transceivers, including SFPs, XFPs, GVICs, ZenPaks, and X2s, that are 100% compatible with all major networking equipment manufacturers, including Cisco, 3Com, Foundry, Alcatel, and HP, at up to 99% off of list price. In stock, ready to ship via overnight delivery, it's memorydealers.com.
All right, so we've been talking about this defense of Ebenezer Scrooge, who, as Mises.org is putting it, is, you know, they believe he is a financier and that he's getting an unfair shake by the, you know, everybody in the last several decades, and that everybody wants Scrooge's money and that it's okay for him to hang on to it, and I think that it's okay for somebody to want to keep their money, but I think it also is better to be, you know, generous and to, you know, to give. I think that that's beneficial to people, and that if that's what he was being accused of, was being stingy and that he didn't want to support the poor or whatever, then it's a valid accusation. It doesn't mean that he should be, you know, hung from the rafters or anything like that, but if you've got a whole bunch of money sitting around in a vault somewhere, then it doesn't hurt to give that to some charities and help some people put some food in their mouths.
Well, I imagine if he was a lender, as the Mises Institute here is supposing, most of his money was, in fact, lent out, and he didn't have it sitting in a vault somewhere, because that doesn't make much money. That doesn't make him any profit.
Well, that certainly is a possibility. Let's continue that in a moment, but first talk to Andrew in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live, Ian, Sean, and Mark. Hello, Andrew. Andrew in Michigan?
Just about to... Oh, excuse me. Hi, guys. I think Sean was just about to touch on this before the break. It kind of had to do with one of the scenarios of Tiny Tim. When I know this from the Walt Disney version. when he goes back to look on his life, Tiny Tim is dead and the family's around. And it just doesn't make sense that the partner who's played by Goofy, is it Jacob Marley or is
yes.
it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why would, there's like one bean on the table that they're sharing. Why would you pay your employee enough to not even feed himself any sustenance?
Why would he stay?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense because it costs a lot of money, especially if you're a financier and you guys know that those guys do all the funny numbers and stuff, so he's got to have some sort of education to be doing that kind of thing. So it wouldn't make sense to, just give him enough that he's, starving to death and his whole family's starving. So I'd say he should be allowed to keep his money.
Thanks for the call tonight, Andrew. Appreciate hearing from you at 800-259-9231. So, of course, we're talking about a situation that has been dramatized, right? I mean, these people would be so underpaid that they wouldn't even be able to eat.
And that actually is about what we're to get into.
All right, let's do it.
All right. We know that, at the very least, by managing to stay in the lending business these many years and accumulating handsome earnings in the process, Scrooge's decision-making has been beneficial to others. All this goes unmentioned by Comrade Dickens, who prefers to focus upon the fact that Scrooge has actually profited from these many benefits that his sound business decision-making has indirectly bestowed upon his neighbors.
All right, we've had people call this show that complain about the fact that people charge interest on loans.
They call it usury.
They want people to give money out without any kind of incentive for themselves.
At that point, why would you do it? Because everybody knows that lending out money involves risk. And then,
you want to get compensated for your risk.
If you have if there's no reason for compensation, why would you lend money? People that don't want to see interest on loans don't want to see loans.
Apparently not.
The central character in this campaign of terror and extortion against my client is one Bob Cratchit, the 19th century's version of Forrest Gump. A witless and chronic loser with no apparent control over any significant aspects of his life save, perhaps, for his body's biological functions. He is an inflatable bozo clown whose only purpose in life is to absorb the blows visited upon him by others. He is the poster boy for victimhood, a flatliner devoid of any dynamic sense of life. Let me offer this caveat, however. We do not allege this man to be one of the principal conspirators against my client. Far from it. For to have dreamed up or to have actively participated in a scheme as convoluted and diabolical as the one perpetrated against my client seems far beyond the ambitions or the imagination of Bob Cratchit or any members of his family.
Clearly not an ambitious man. I mean, accepting a crap can job, which is supposedly what we're to believe that he had, and not bothering to go out and find something else. Of course, one could say, well, there are no other jobs, but that's not very likely in the marketplace.
At this point, many of you are probably thinking to yourselves, surely he's not going to denounce the Cratchits, is he? They are one of the most revered of all families, part of the pantheon of secular gods in our culture. I can't believe he's going to go after them. Yes, I am. I'm going to attack the Cratchits. He can't do that, you may now be saying to yourselves. Just watch me. One of the offenses with which my client has been charged was that he had not paid Bob Cratchit a large enough salary. Cratchit has worked in an allegedly substandard level of pay, whatever that may mean, for my client for many years. Why? Why did he not quit? Why didn't he go work for some other employer? Perhaps one of the politically correct businessmen who periodically show up at Scrooge's office to solicit and browbeat charitable contributions from my client? Put yourself in Cratchit's position. Imagine yourself to have been the victim of years of underappreciated and underpaid work, head of a large family, one of whose members suffered from a life-threatening ailment. What would you have done? Would you have simply sat around in a kind of super lotto stupor, hoping that great fortune would befall you through some act of dumb luck? Certainly in the early days of the Industrial Revolution, wherein Dickens wrote, when new businesses were starting up all over the place in a great burst of economic creativity, there must have been all sorts of opportunities available for a competent bookkeeper. Great fortune.
I'd like to point out that during the Golden Age, and I think that this number is specific to America and not Great Britain where Dickens was writing, but it is the only time in human history, I'm going to repeat that, the only time in human history that the working class of people's standard of living doubled in the span of 20 years. Has your standard of living doubled in 20 years? Has the average working guy's standard of living doubled in the last 20 years? This was the period of, you know, laissez-faire. It admittedly, it wasn't entirely laissez-faire. They had their fingers in it. Now they got their whole, they got their arm up to their elbow in it. But, you know, this in this time of laissez-faire, it admittedly there were problems, no doubt. But the average workers earning, you know, wages earned, real wages earned, double in that time frame.
To anyone with even the most rudimentary understanding of economics, two things should be clear. One, if has been alleged my client is a tight-fisted, selfish man, he surely would not have paid Bob Cratchit a shilling more than his marginal productivity was worth to Scrooge's firm. And two, if Bob Cratchit was being woefully underpaid by my client, there must have been all kinds of alternative employment available to this man at higher salaries. If Cratchit cannot find more remunerative work, and if my client is paying him the maximum that he is marginally worth to his business, then Cratchit must be worth precisely what my client is paying him. Economic values are subjective, with prices for goods or services rising or falling on the basis of the combined preferences of market participants. In this interplay of marketplace forces, which Dickens neither understands nor favors, coupled with Cratchit's passive, sluggish disposition when it comes to improving his marketable skills or opportunities, that accounts for Cratchit's condition in life. My client should no more be expected to pay Cratchit more than his marketable skills merit than would Dickens have paid his stationer a higher-than-market price for his pen, ink, and paper, simply because the retailer needed more money.
There's more coming up here at 800-259-9231. We'll get your thoughts in. Are they missing something here, the Mises people? I feel like they're missing a little compassion, personally. I think it's articles like this that get libertarians, give them a bad name. More coming up. You can take control. This is Free Talk Live.
Spark imaginations and free minds with an enjoyable graphic novel or webcomic from BigHeadPress.com. This holiday season provides a great opportunity to share a vision of freedom and how we'll get there. Inspirational and beautifully illustrated publications from BigHeadPress.com are great tools for sharing the freedom message with thoughtful stories that are extremely entertaining and a pleasure to read. You'll be awed by the illustrations while you cheer for the heroes and boo the villains. Check out BigHeadPress.com and sample their work online before you buy. BigHeadPress.com.
Have you ever wished that you could buy, sell, and trade in silver in your community? Del Valle Silver has a no-cost, turnkey setup for you. You recruit 6 to 8 businesses in your area to accept Del Valle Silver rounds as barter currency, and your wish is granted. You get paid, and you promote the use of real money. This isn't like so many other silver currency setups, where it's really just a system to sell high-priced rounds. It's a free market system based on Austrian economics. DelValleySilver.com. DelValleySilver.com.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass? Or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. Only moments remain. Enough time for your thoughts. If you make the call now, 800-259-9231. We'll do our best to sneak you in here, and hopefully we'll give you a chance to win a two-pack of the Totesac if I don't screw it up and space out and forget to do it by the end of the show. Of course, the end of the show is coming up pretty soon. So what is the Totesac, Mark?
The Totesac is a retail grocery bag carrier. It's made of 100% recyclable materials right here in the United States, and you can go take a look at it, at totesac.us, TOTASAK.US. There's no C in Totesac. It's totesac.us. And, once you have one of these things, you'll never realize how your life's been enhanced, what you've been missing up to this point. They're truly an enhancement for going to the grocery store.
Sean, I don't think we've gotten you any Totesacs yet, right?
I don't have any.
There's one right there for you. There's one more left, I think, that we have here, yeah. So if you want to take one, you're welcome to.
Just disappear.
Mark went and bought a whole bunch of them and been handing them out, and so it's a great little tool. We'll give you a two-pack here, hopefully, in a little bit. We're talking about Ebenezer Scrooge, and Mises.org is defending him. And there's more to this story, so you can go to Mises.org to get the full report, the full shebang, but we're going to jump down to the very end and take your phone calls here.
In spite of all this, there may yet be some hope for Tiny Tim to escape from the limited future implicit in the restricted imagination of Charles Dickens. Tim may have some potential, if only he can be freed from this family of whining misfits. If he is not rescued, but manages to survive only as a result of the shakedown perpetrated upon my client, his future may be a bleak one. He may even end up confined to a bleak house, or worse still, spend his adult years in the spiritually drearier position of being an executive director of some political action group designed to mobilize other social misfits, yallers, and existentially bankrupt men and women. As part of a settlement offer, my client would consider adopting Tiny Tim, should his parents agree, and cut loose the rest of the Cratchit family to continue their mindless, unfocused, spirited, and passive bottom feeding in the shallow and stagnant end of the human gene pool.
Yeah.
But let us have no more of these drive-by specters from the netherworld who feign their concern for crippled children. Like other opportunistic parasites who tell us that they feel our pain even as they are causing us more pain, let us have no more of the self-serving guilt-peddling that keeps men and women subservient to those who threaten to cut off their dependencies. Tiny Tim is young enough to be given the benefit of the doubt as to his future. As for the other members of the Cratchit family, let us allow the evolutionary process of nature to dispose of these non-adaptive, non-resilient, non-ambitious leeches who exhibit not the least sense of intelligence or creativity in the plight of one of their own, for whom they exhibit only superficial concern. The claim against my client is without substance and should be dismissed with prejudice. It is the Industrial Revolution's version of a scapegoating action, grounded more in bigotry than in fact or reason. In the end, I can offer no better answer to such charges than those provided by my client himself. Bah! Humbug! The defense rests.
Yeah, the compassion, I think, is a real issue with whoever it was that wrote that. And who was it, by the way, at the Mises?
Butler Schaffer over at Mises.
Butler Schaffer.
I wouldn't take it too seriously. It's just funny.
No, I understand, Mark, but words mean something, and the way you approach a topic make mean something? I understand the venue that it was written in and the mindset that it was written for, and I get all that. But I think that it's an article like that that somebody can point to and say, yeah, that libertarians have no compassion and they're a bunch of cruel jerks. And
that's why I go and volunteer at the community kitchen on a regular basis.
Sure, and yeah, I give money to that same organization as well. We can do things in our own lives to make differences in other people's lives, and you are not a wealthy Ebenezer Scrooge, and nor am I, but you know, we still find the time to give back to the community, and I just think, do you understand where I'm coming from on this?
Like,
that article, as cute as it was and as poignant as it was, and it's pointing out of how the market works and economics can be kind of cold. You know, when it's presented by economists who aren't maybe the best at exhibiting compassion or exuding compassion for their fellow man, who may not have been as fortunate as they are.
Well, this was an economist pretending to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
What did you expect?
No, that's exactly what I expected. Let me tell you, that's precisely what I expected the piece to be when you told me about it in advance. Let's go to the phones and the fun here. Your thoughts are welcome. Matt is in Illinois on the Amp Lines. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Matt.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
I think the guy who wrote that last piece that was read missed a lot from the book, or ignored a lot in his piece. Dickens, Charles Dickens, may well have been a statist. He may well have been pointing out social injustices that he felt the government should fix. But even in that book, there were times when he showed an individualist bent. For instance, there is a point in that book where Scrooge is asked for a donation, and he goes, "Are there no workhouses? Are there no prisons?" And the gentleman says, "Well, many don't want to go to those places because they don't feel they're well enough maintained." And Scrooge goes, "Thank goodness, I thought they were wasting my tax money." So that points out the fact that he was thinking that his tax money was his giving. That's how he was giving to society, by paying his taxes.
Which is not uncommon in people's mind as to, well, I'm not going to give any money to those charities. I already paid my taxes, and that should be good enough.
Right. And more than that, when Scrooge, when they do the whole ghost from the past thing, it is shown that Scrooge has actually chosen money as his god. He chooses money over his the woman that he loves. He chooses money over his sister. He alienates himself because of money. And that has nothing to do with being a statist or an individualist. That has to do with personal choice. And everybody is welcome to make that choice, and he did. And Dickens is pointing out the destruction, the personal destruction that can happen when somebody makes such a choice. So I think that if this gentleman wants to point out flaws in Dickens' social commentary, he should take a different book. I don't think this is the correct book to point out those flaws.
Wow, that's great. I'm glad you called with those points tonight, Max.
It's the really most popular of them, though, I'd say.
I think that was a real great cap on the entire hour. Anything else you want to share?
No, thank you.
Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you at 800-259-9231. I completely agree. I mean, if money is your god, you've got some real problems. And there's going to be some greed. I think the times I've been greedy in my life has smacked me down, man. And I have learned my lesson about that. And there are some serious consequences that can come about from that,
what
I've seen.
You've got to wonder, what drives people after a certain point when it comes to money. I mean, Bill Gates obviously stopped making money. Now he's trying to give his away, which I think is great. I don't think that the superstars that are really great at making money should be limited by the government, tax them to the point that it's not worth them working any longer, because those people create businesses that drive the economy, that provide jobs for people, that do so much for so many, I don't think you should do that. But at some point or another, it's just like, well, you know, what are you making the money for? Some people love their job. I mean, I don't know how much money we're going to make doing this, but I
don't care.
You know, you and I, we started doing this for free.
For years, we did this show for free. So clearly, it's not all about money. Money comes when you, for me, money comes when you give people what they want. Money comes when you provide a product or service that people are demanding in the marketplace and you satisfy your customers. If you're giving people what they want, they'll give you what you want. Everybody's going to be fine. You don't have to really worry about it at that point. Let's continue here with Andrew in New Hampshire. Andrew, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, it's Owen. I don't think I could encapsulate my opinion about that piece better than Matt could. But I like to also point out that Scrooge, in the story, most of the bad parts that are portrayed, that Scrooge is, you know, supposed to look negatively about, is during the times when Scrooge is having self-reflection in the part of what is the dream sequence, where he's looking at the ghost of the past, the ghost of the present, and the ghost of the future. And in those three parts, he looks at part of his life as it was, as it is now, and as he thinks that people will view him in the future, and he comes to the realization that he doesn't want to live that way because he wants to be remembered as a good guy instead of a dick, in which, you know, pretty much he comes across as.
Andrew, we're short on time, man. I thank you for the
show. And the book named Richard?
Thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. It's not a bad word, Mark, unless it's used in a sexual connotation. Hey, you want to get a two-pack of the Totesac? Call in right now, 603-435-1105. That's 603-435-1105, and you might just win a two-pack of the Totesac. We will be back tomorrow night. You can join us online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Juicy Juice, 100% juice, providing a full serving of fruit in every 4 ounces. Visit us at juicyjuice.com. When it comes to nutrition, kids need both fruits and vegetables every day to stay healthy and grow. For the ideal mix, your kids should have at least 1.5 cups of any veggie or 100% veggie juice and 1 cup of any fruit or 100% fruit juice a day. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.